Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Father, we give you praise and we thank you. Rivers, rivers, rivers from within. And flood my soul away. Take me, mold me, cleanse me by your word. Until dying, all the feather be. Rivers, rivers, rivers from within. Bus for now, bus for floored my soul. Take me, mold me, cleanse me by the word. Until the image of the Father be revealed. Rivers, rivers, rivers from within. Rivers, rivers, rivers from within. Take us for now. Flood my soul. Mold me, cleanse me, take me by the word. Take me, mold me, cleanse me by the word. Oh, until the image of the Father be revealed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The one I love is always before me. He seals upon my heart. I live for the one I love. The one I love is ever before. He seals upon my heart. I live for the one I love. The one I love. The one I love. He seals upon my heart. I live for the one I, the one I love, the one I. I live for the one I love. I live for the one I love. He sails upon my heart. I live for the one I love. I live for the one I love. I live for the one I love. He sails upon my heart. I live for the. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we just pray in other tongues everywhere? Just pray in other tongues. Just pray in other tongues if you can.
Oh, I live for the one I love. The one I love. Yeah.
And be very attentive in the spirit.
be very attentive, be very coordinated. Gather your minds together. Avoid any form of distraction.
Bashem Adonai El Shaddai Rabboni Bashem Adonai El Shaddai El Elyon Bashem Adonai El Shaddai Rabboni Bashem Adonai El Shaddai El Elyon Rabboni Rabboni Bashem Adonai El Shaddai Rabboni Shalarabaya Kasu Brakadish Bashem Adonai El Shaddai Rabakasu Larabaya Elyon You are the hope of all the ages, the desire for the age to come. I worship you today. You are the hope for all the ages, the desire of the age to come. I worship you today. I lift your banner high, is high above the heavens. I lift your banner high, glory to your name. You are the hope of all the ages, the desire of the age to come. I worship you today. You are the hope of all the ages, the desire of the age to come. I worship you today. We lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. We lift your banner high,
Glory to your name. I lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. I lift your banner high. Glory to your name. We lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. We lift your banner high. Glory to your name. Lord, I lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. I lift your banner high. Glory to your name. We lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. We lift your banner high. Glory to your name. I lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. I lift your banner high. Glory to your name. Jesus, we lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. We lift your banner high. Glory to your name. Oh, I lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. I lift your banner high. Glory to your name. We lift your banner high. It's higher than the heavens. We lift your banner high. Glory to your name. You are the hope of all the ages, the desire of the age to come. I worship you today. You are the hope of all the ages, the desire of the age to come. I worship you today. I lift your banner high. It's high above the heavens. We lift your banner high. Glory to your name. Oh, we lift your banner high. High above the heavens, lift your banner high, glory to your name.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your glory.
May we never lose your wonder. May we never lose your wonder. Oh, we will never lose your wonder. We will never lose your wonder. For you are beautiful in all your ways, oh God. You are beautiful in all your ways, oh God, oh God. May I never lose your wonder. I will never lose your wonder. I will never lose your wonder. I will never lose your wonder.
We'll never come to that point we're familiar with God. Wide eyes to mystify.
May I look just like a child, staring at the beauty of my King. Oh, wide-eyed and mystified, may I look just like a child, staring at the beauty of my King. Oh, wide-eyed and mystified, may I look just like a child, staring at that beauty of my King. Oh, may I never lose your wonder. I will never lose your wonder. For you are beautiful in all your ways. Oh God, you are beautiful in all your ways.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's get briefly into the word. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It's very important that your hearts are stirred before the word. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, and every time, not sometimes, every time the Holy Spirit determines the flow of a service, because He's the one to move. He's not a man to move. So we may come ready to hear the word, and He may stretch us to us through some songs, some series of songs, to get our hearts stirred, because it doesn't matter how good the preacher is or preached, if the hearts were not prepared, the word of God would not grow like as a seed that it is. Are we together? It will just be stagnant in that heart. Alright. So we'll read from 2 Corinthians 4, 7. What does it say? If you are there, everyone. Let's see from verse 6. Are we ready? Let's read together. One, two, go. All right. One way to participate very well in the service is that you read out. All right. It was a culture in Bible days. When they read the scripture, they are very loud. Amen. That helps you to retain the scripture in your mind a lot. So let's read out. One, two, go. In the face of Jesus Christ. Next part of scripture. Then it says what? Alright, go back to verse 6 again and read through to 7. Now, first I want to go, for it is God who commanded light to shine on them, who has shown in our hearts in the face of Jesus. Alright, why did he do that? Wow. Can we have this in the Amplified rendition? The Amplifier rendition. But we have this precious treasure, the good news about salvation, in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God. Alright, I love drama. Let's see TPT. Too much of everything is not good. Let's read one to go. We are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not as somehow it makes sense. NLT don't like making it look like we have power so much. I don't know why, but let's see NLT. So it likes to be very, the people that interpreted it, they are very careful people. So we now have this light shining in our heart, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars, right? You see? Containing this great treasure, I'm sure NLT, I was very sure it would condemn more. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Well, related with the TPT and the NKJV, let's compare something. Amplify was too much. He said, we now have this light. Now, context, what are we talking about? The glory. If you see verse 6, the Bible speaks about the glory of God shown. It said it was God that commanded light to come out from darkness, isn't it? And caused us to see the glory of God as revealed by the face of who? Jesus Christ, right? Then it now says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. That is the glory of God, isn't it? If you follow the algorithm carefully, Paul is trying to say that the reason why this is a possibility was because God at some time had commanded light to shine out of darkness. There is the only one that had capacity or have capacity to do such a thing. He commanded light from nowhere to shine from what? Darkness. And that's why it's a possibility that even though we see ourselves as mere mortals, alright? Even though that's not God's original intention for us. We see ourselves as mere mortals. You know, some people say we are flesh, and to flesh we shall what? Return. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? There's a practice yearly for some denomination. They believe we are flesh and we are returning to flesh. Now, we are not denying the fact that scriptures, it's not like God said so, right? But that men, because of the fallen nature from Adam's disobedience, got to see themselves that way for years. Are we together? And so truly, without the Holy Spirit, without understanding what God truly intended for man, we're more like just mere mortals. Just like jars of clay. Are we together? Jars of clay. And the Bible said, because God was able to call out light from darkness, that is why He is able to make sure there's glory in these mere mortars or mere jar of clays. That's why this is a possibility. So that when you see the glory of God finding expression through our lives, you understand that this is not this is not a function of human strength or human ability, but is a function of God's power and glory. Are we together? Such that when they see you, who came from a very terrible home and background, living all of a sudden in the ways of the Lord, they should not be shocked. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Is that we now have this light shining in our heart by ourselves like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure? This make it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Paul is trying to say that God wants every man to walk in the glory. Every man that sees himself more like a mere mortal. Paul is like, God wants them to walk in the glory. And they should not be surprised that they can walk in the glory. It should be a proof that they are not the one causing themselves to walk in the glory, but the great power of God giving them the ability and the capacity to walk in the glory. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He is not denying the fact that man can walk in the glory. He's saying that, should in case you see man walking in the glory, know that this can only be God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because, of course, Paul had seen that a lot of people didn't believe that they can walk in the glory. What do I mean by walking in the glory? Live above sin, live above fear, live above defeat, and etc. So we may say we are just flesh, and to flesh we shall return. No lie, all of the insult, we can insult ourselves because of the fallen nature of man. But here is Paul saying that it is still a possibility that the glory of God can find expression through this clay of jar, or this jar of clay. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And so that it is proved that the excellency of the glory of God is not to man, but to who? God. Are you here? So you may feel weak, but you are strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of His mind. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? So Paul is like, don't allow everything about your humanity and the fallen nature of man make you talk like that.
Paul is like, you are big. Alright? Somewhere in scripture. God complimented the scripture through the same Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Before we get here, let's just see a scripture that talks about the simplicity of the gospel in Christ. Amen? 2 Corinthians 11, 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Are we there? Can I have this in the Amplifier edition? Are you ready? Let's read. One, two, go. Paul was afraid. Alright? You know, somebody may say, why was Paul afraid? Is he his business? Is he the one that created the people? When God calls you, right, He doesn't just call you and leave you like that. He shapes you into a man that should fit into the call. So you start acting like the call. That is why the call and being worked upon are not the same thing. You may be called, and if the Holy Spirit has not worked upon you and in you, you will sound like somebody that does not understand the call. Take for instance, I saw one pastor online who had a program. He's a pastor. He had a program, and you know, somebody can say this to condemn the pastor, but I'm not saying it to condemn the pastor. I'm speaking from a burden, a sincere burden. And he invited a worldly singer to do the birthday celebration for him. And I was perplexed. I was shocked. He was on stage, and while the worldly singer was singing, now he said he's a pastor, and probably he is. Now, what if he truly is a pastor? He actually knows he's called to be a pastor, but he doesn't understand the office of a pastor. Because to be called and to be made are two different things. Alright? So when God calls you, it's not enough. You can bear the office of a pastor, truly you are called, and still act foolishly. A lot of people who are truly called by God, who have made great mistakes. Are we together? That doesn't nullify the fact that they were truly called by God, because they felt like being called is an automatic ticket to start preaching. No. Some of you are potential doctors, isn't it? Some of you are studying medicine here. Can you perform an operation? Can you tear somebody's stomach and do anything? What if you wanted somebody to do you an operation and they say it's in 300 level? How many of you say, okay, here's my stomach, go ahead, doctor? As long as he said he's in 300 level, everybody is scared. What if he forgets the knife and this thing inside my stomach? What if he cut it too much? Hallelujah to Jesus. Many people will be scared, even though originally God wants that person to be a what? A doctor. But he has not been trained or capacitated with the right syllabus that should fashion him into being really fitting into his office as a what? A doctor. That's how it is in ministry. It's one thing to be called, it's another thing to be ready. Or are we together for ministry? And so when I saw that, I was shocked. And well, I cannot go and start insulting on the internet, but I was just shocked. And why I'm not happy was because it paints a wrong picture about pastoring. A lot of people would started insulting, you know. And some people, you know, surprisingly, a lot of people were happy with him. Yes. Yes. If somebody had said something bad about that, he would have more negative comment than the person even doing that. I mean, I saw these folks that always condemned church there. Was it Daddy Freeze? He was dancing with him on the stage and they were, you know, vibing to the music. Alright? You know, the guy claims to be a church analyst. He understands the Bible. He drinks alcohol to understand the Bible. Amen? And when he gets high, the Holy Ghost starts moving. Ooh. A little wonder, he said, one way to spend your tithe is to buy alcohol in church. And to flex. Can you believe that? Imagine we come to church, everybody bring one bottle of life to church. And when you bring the bottle, say, okay, time for tithe. Then you raise it up. Cheers to tithe, brother. Boom. I'll start getting high. Atrocities. Amen. And I mean, it's high time we don't hide these things. We'll make them understand its foolishness. But this is my point. If God calls you, He fashions you by the revelation of Christ to becoming a person that will start seeing things from His perspective. Because the Bible says we are co-laborers with Christ. Paul speaking about the fivefold. I think that was 1 Corinthians 3 or 2 Corinthians 3. Paul was speaking about the fivefold. You know what the fivefold ministry is, right? So what are the fivefold ministry? Prophet, evangelist, and etc. Fivefold ministry, right? So Paul speaking, he said, we are co-laborers with Christ. Okay? I wish you can give me that place again where he said co-laborers too, as you gave me this one. We are co-laborers with Christ. Are we together? Is it together with Christ we are, how did he put it? Try to remember the words he used. Co-laborers. We are building together with Christ. Then he said, you are God's building. Yes. Now, I'm sure if you Google "you are God's building," you see what I'm talking about. He said, we are building together with Christ. He said, but you, the people that we are raising, are what? God's building. Are we together? Have you found it? Amen? Alright, I wish you could get it for me so that I would just be comfortable teaching on it. You know, sometimes when you are teaching without the scripture, people will be wondering if it's in the Bible. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians what? 3:9. Okay, it's in 1 Corinthians 3:9. So, put it up for us. You know, when I'm asking scripture, some people are like, Ephesians. It used to tire me. You know, if you don't know the scripture, you kindly just keep quiet. If you know the scripture, then you boldly speak. Because if you now tell me the scripture and now say it in this message, now they will think our church don't know Bible. The people that will hear it tomorrow. So what we'll be doing now is that when you give me scripture, I'll say, okay, Sonny just said so and so. Let's check. Would you like it like that? And when you are wrong, we'll say, okay, Sonny is wrong. Next. Hallelujah to Jesus. So let's read together and say, for we are God's fellow workers. You are what? God's feet. And you are what? God's feet. If you look at the context, Paul was speaking about day leaders and the church. Give me the Amplifier edition. He says, in the Amplifier edition, he says, for we are God's fellow workers, His servants, working together with Him, right? He says, you are God's cultivated field, His garden, His vineyard, God's building. Give me in the Classic rendition. For we are God's fellow workmen. I prefer this. Joint promoters, laborers together. With and for God. You are God's garden and what? Vineyard. And field under cultivation. You are God's building. You see that? You see that? Hallelujah to Jesus. So if we look at Matthew 13 and do a little, let's just drift a little bit. If we do look at Matthew 13 carefully, then we now understand what the Bible meant by when God plants, the devil comes and plants tares, right? Can you remember? Because the building now is human beings. So where does He plant? In our hearts. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? That as God is planting His word like this in your heart, because the word of God, Luke 8:11, around there, the Bible says the word of God can be likened to a seed, right? So as the seed is getting into you, God's cultivated building, or God's building under cultivation, or God's, how do you put it, garden under cultivation. Satan can just rush and come and plant the wrong seeds or tares, so that you are swayed away from the truth of God's word, because his business with you is just the word. As long as the word of God is out of your life, he has no business with you. That's why the Bible said, whenever God speaks a word, I think that's Matthew 15, is that then he runs, or Matthew 13, he runs and tries to steal the words of the kingdom in our hearts. Are we together? You know, a few times when I hear people talk in regret, I am quite perplexed and amazed and quite emotional. Like lately when someone called me and he's turned into something that is unbelievable. Something, of course, I'm not proud of. Midnight, someone called me, because I have this culture of picking my phone, my calls in the midnight, should in case it's an emergency. That's how we're taught as pastors. And so immediately the person called, and you know sometimes when you wake up, you can't sleep again. I don't know if you have been there. You just be looking at the sky and sleep would not come. You would not sleep. And pastor, it is Susan and Super Sin. I said, guess who I am? I said, call your name. I said, as I said this, he called different, he called more than three titles. The CEO of this, the ambassador of this. I said, what is your own name? I said, now as I'm saying, sir, you should understand where I am now. I'm big. I said, if you don't call your name now, I'll end the call. He said, sir, you remember in Nazareth calling pastors' names to show I know you. I said, it's your name I want to hear. He finally called the name. I said, saying things, I just felt like he was gone mental. He was speaking for about 30 minutes. I couldn't say a word. You know, have you been there? Amen. I think he's outside the country now. He's doing well in terms of physicality. But somebody will say, such a person without following God is very successful. That person, someone in church probably that is not knowledgeable, will look at such a person and choose the person over Ola. For instance, why? Because Ola is not in UK. You know, be careful. Just don't laugh. Think deeply. Think very deeply. It's not a moment to laugh. Because success has been wrongly defined to us. You know, I don't joke with life at all. I don't joke with life. I don't joke with anything in life. Yesterday I was teaching down to the name of my children. I don't joke. I didn't give birth. My wife gave birth. We gave birth together. It's true. You will not understand. It's true. Have you ever seen a woman in labor room before? All the things she couldn't do to you, she would show you in the labor room. She wanted to beat you up. She would beat you up and you wouldn't do nothing. Just that you can sincerely say, I know you are just, you know, just born, finish and see, you know. So, we gave birth together and etc. And the Lord, I know a seed came out from my life. And God spoke to me about the life of that person that's come out from me. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And so now, respectfully speaking, someone sat somewhere, I don't know, and looked at the sun and just said, I like how the sun is shining. Her name should be Sunshine. Why? No! If I agree, I've destroyed the life of my baby. You can't just look at that side and it's just green and say her name should be Green in Idoma. What is Green in Idoma? You know, I was speaking with my friend. He called me because he followed through the service yesterday. He's a captain in Nigeria. He said, Pastor, I enjoyed your preaching yesterday. I said, whoa, glory. He said, I wanted to tell you too that I had the same. He said, what is it? He said, that thing you were preaching about. He said, they called me, I wanted to give them. I said, please, halt. He said, can you imagine? One of the names of my nephew is Daria. You know what Daria means? Laughter. The another one is Magana. I said, why Magana? I said, because before they gave birth to the boy, people were predicting he's a girl, he's a boy. So there was too much talk. So when they gave birth, they say Magana. I said, but you are Lana. No, people give names like that. I mean, you and your husband, you heard the Lord, you prayed in the spirit, and it's about time for a child to come out, then grandparents start writing names. I said, no, the Lord spoke to me. Hallelujah to Jesus. These things are, you know, when we say it like this, it may seem like we are being disrespectful, but no. You don't joke with the destiny of children. Some of you, your name you are bearing is the reason why you have not done something in this life. You have bad names. Your names, some of them are not bad names. They don't tell you your purpose in life. What you are supposed to do and your name, they are very... And some of you like names that sound sweet. You see them sitting and be looking for names. Shikel. Chic baby. That's a nice name. It's true. In fact, there are some of your parents gave you a name. You say, no. They say Sandra. I say, no. Sandibulos. Sandy Bay. You know, when I was choosing the name of my daughter, I told my wife, it's not about sweetness. Oh. If you like, say the name is not sweet. I don't care. It's not ice cream. They are not supposed to leak the name. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's the meaning that is the most what important. That's how life should be. Glory to God forevermore. Some of you, if you allow, I had to change my name when I discovered my place in Christ. My name in the physical means the world has over somebody. Not my name, but my son's name. So Simon, who the world has overcome. That's the meaning of my name, the son's name. So one day, when I started understanding my language very well, I tried to understand the name. I said, no, maybe I'm making a mistake. So I called somebody who's a grandmaster in the language. I said, pronounce this name. He started laughing. I said, no, it's not my name. Pronounce it. What's the meaning? He said, how can somebody bear this name? I said, okay, it's not a good name. He said, it means the word has over you. I said, hey, it's such a bad thing for that person. Let me tell the person to change the name. So I went home, wrote court affidavit, newspaper, publication. My name is not that name. Shush up. Hallelujah to Jesus. I remove it from my... Whew. The word cannot over me. Every day you look at me and say, Simon, who the word has over... Simon, who... Then you expect me to overcome the world? Because you are confessing this in every day. It's very important too. Don't joke with names. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Some of you, I agree. Go and change your name. If your name has bad meaning, change it. Some of you, your name is air. Some of you, your name means sunlight. Why? Some of their name is stone cold. And if you watch people like that, if they are not careful, they cannot live a life of meaning. Jesus was given a name by an angel because it tallies with his purpose. He will save the people from John. The name tallies with his purpose. The mother said, they said, no, nobody. The culture says you must give a name within that existed within the family. She said, no, I don't care. God said, you see, God doesn't care about culture. He counters culture. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You know, I saw a program, they say counterculture. And I say counterculture simply means using God's word to scatter anything that is against us, not for us. Counterculture has to do with God's word, not a kind of dressing, bringing it. They are trying to tell us they are countering the culture of Christianity. We are not the one that have problems. Go to the world. you say you are doing counterculture and you look like a worldly person. That's not counterculture, that's under bondage. Because you know why it pained me when I saw that thing? Who would even believe it's a gospel program? So somebody's eyeglasses, this one, chain, chest is open. So we're countering culture for Jesus. Are you here tonight? So be careful. A lot of times when Satan tries to lie to you, he just wants to destroy you. A lot of times I've seen people who call me, Prophet Sir, we want to do Pastor Ed especially, we want to talk to Prophet, we want to talk. They are scared. And when they finally read, somebody was the one that told me, just small talk is why they misbehave in church. Small talk. Somebody say, why? They realize it because they've repented. Say, but that thing is too, why would that small talk? Yes, small talk. The Bible speaks about the yeast of the Pharisees. Just one small statement from somebody can alter you in the right direction. Hope you know that. You're in the choir and the choir master is using one person every time. And your friend just makes a statement. Now, wow, every time at this girl. You don't even like herself. The way they do self. That's why your wife need to come rehearsal every time. See the way they talk. My sister Mima, I think that, you know, but I be able to talk against her HOD. But they've spoken. Do you know that little thing now has opened a gate for Satan to enter your heart? Because now two of you have established a relationship of amebo. Demons are now descending and ascending on your head. Do you hear, sir? When people are smiling, two of you are maintaining your steeze. Have you seen people like that in department? Why when you did something, you see them just thought themselves? Why not respond? Sir, I'm responding, no. It's my truth that is spinning me. Demons are ascending and descending on your life. There are some that when they finish inside meeting, they'll be thinking, all these people in our department, they don't have a call. I'm a man of God. Is it because I'm just in the prayer department? Let them not worry. I'm just here for training. God is using me, them, to humble me. I'm learning something here. They all are not conscious of their call. So after the meeting now, instead of joining people to greet people and talk to people before you go home, you just sit and carry the Bible. Men of God. They leave everybody. The rest people playing and coming at the back, they don't know their call. They are just regular departmental members. But they are on a process. Then they are men of God in a department. That's one sign of a fall. Soon you will finish. You know, sometimes when I see people say, I want to do ministry. You know, truly God can call people, but some that are assumptions. They just feel like the thing is so easy. You know, prophet just come, see, look at him now. Just come, put one hand in the pocket and start teaching. Pew, pew, pew. It's too easy, I beg. Be changing suit. Be doing hair, even have time for hair. I beg, ministry easy. Then I smile in my heart. I say, may you not enter into something God did not call you to enter. We have one testimony as pastors. Very genuine pastor said this. Everybody thought ministry was sweet. And it's sweet in Jesus' name by faith. But a lot of people that are into ministry sincerely want to go out from ministry. They don't just know how to go out. It's the truth. A lot of pastors want to run away. They don't just know which way to use now. Because they don't know how to start it. If I go now, what will people say? That's what is in their heart. Because the problem they are hearing is overwhelming. And when you try to solve it now, you become a problem. You don't even know how to choke your hand. Sometimes pastors now are suspecting things. If you bring problem, there's a way to begin to look at you. Whether this problem is unto death or life. Should I choke my hand? Should I not? The last time I choked my hand, they insulted me. And it's the devil. It's all the devil. Look at it. At the end of everything, it's not me. or any of the fivefold that will be destroyed when they make a mistake? Who will be destroyed? The people. Was it Hebrews 11 or Hebrews 5 that speaks about you being careful so that pastoring will be profitable for you? Hebrews 13:17. Let's see it briefly before we come back in. Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them continually, recognizing their authority over you. For they are what? Constantly keeping watch over your souls. And what? Guarding your spiritual welfare as men who have to what? Render an account of their trust. Meaning we have to tell God, this is what we did with these lives you give us. We report back to God. Then he said, do your part too. Let them do this with gladness. In other words, you have to cooperate so that your spiritual leaders will work on your lives with what? Gladness. And not with sighing and what? If you bring your spiritual leader to a point that is hissing and pastoring, I beg sit down here, make you just talk, let me hear you. The Bible said that would not be profitable for you. For you. Chiefly you. You know, either too is actually right, but let's leave it for you first. Either means for the pastor and for you. And somehow it's true. Moses did not enter the promised land because of people's character. Somebody that left all the money in this world. That scared me. The Bible said by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He left everything and followed God. People made him not to enter the promised land. Not God though. People. People made him to have problem with God. God said, take my people. He's carrying God's people. The people set him up. He did not enter the promised land. Look at it critically. Because it's actually kind of justifiable. The rate of anger within spiritual leaders. Have you seen how pastors get angry before? Some of you have not seen it. You just see them smiling and blah, blah, blah. If a pastor, the most nicest pastor you know, if they show you anger, you may run, you may pack your Bible and say, I never knew this. I run away from you for your life. One time a pastor I respect so much, he taught the media at court. It was an all-night crossover service. He taught the media at court. He was waiting for people he raised. He raised them from scratch. They sing. He raised them. The whole world know them. From scratch, oh, nobody know them. Then they were not available for crossover service. They were invited to go and sing where they would pay them. So he got offended. He said, they are supposed to come and hear the word for next year. And when he got offended, he said they should cut first. They had not cut. I was watching, I had not started GCMI at that time. I was watching and I heard the anger. What is wrong? He shouted. Because the cameraman had not caught yet. I said, hey, and I caught it. I said, so this man gets angry like this. Jesus Christ. So. Because his people, you say, this is a book. This is a book. What is this? It is a book. Is this a book? Yes, it is. Hold the book. Don't keep the book. Turn your face. Book has been kept. Please carry the book. Try and be holding this book. Book is good. Read book. You hear? Turn your back. Book has been kept. Then you turn back. Are you mad for... Then you are now the problem. Pastor, tell person he is mad. Oh, I will not come to that church again. How many people can survive this kind of life? Hallelujah to Jesus. A pastor in the US wrote a letter that the members are not worthy of him. Then he committed suicide many years ago. He said, these people God gave me are not worthy of me. And I know I cannot run away from the cause. It's better for me to kill myself and go and meet God. True life story. No jokes. How can I do all these things? Blah, 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 blah. And they see all these things. They are not worthy of me. Go browse if I'm lying. Pastors are dropping the Bible every day. Dear. You know why it's easy for them? There they employ you. You can apply to be a pastor. When you get tired, you just remove your hand and say, I'm not inside again. Hallelujah to Jesus. The thing God serious that he entered Nigeria, right now in Nigeria, pastors are dropping Bible every day. Even those that they are paying, they will leave the salary and say, no, even if you are paying me, I don't like these people. I want to change profession. So when I see young people saying, blah, 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 they just like the suits. They know before 2 years, they will become fake prophets. Because when you enter, you want to follow path where you start wearing shiny shoes. As you have seen my shoe now, in the name of Jesus, as I step out from this car, you say your name and your country, I will give you a word. Things like that. They are opening car now. Man of God is coming for a program. They will video when he's in the plane, when he's coming down. When he's moving, when he's opening car, when he's moving, the grace of God is speaking on my life. What is the grace of God? I am coming from out from plane and I'm moving. That's the resultant effect of ignorance. But for people who don't understand their call. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And we must wash ourselves away from all of this mentality. It is very popular, people of God. Such that people cannot even worship God in spirit without showing the world that they worship God in spirit. Today, everybody want to make people, you know, when you find out that you truly like pleasing people, you have lost alignment with the Holy Spirit. The devil told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, change stone to what? Huh? Did Jesus do it? Is he still the Son of God? Yes, he is. Every time you find yourself trying to prove a point, you've lost alignment with the Holy Spirit. You have been inspired by the devil. If it's truly God, you will not prove yourself to anybody. In trying to prove yourself, a lot of times you do things that will not glorify God. A lot of times, because there's no point to truly prove to anybody. All you have to do is glorify God. And how do you glorify God? By doing exactly what he wants you to do, whether people are seeing you or not. The Bible says, he that said in the secret shall reward where? In the open. Promotion comes from above, not by trying to make people feel like you are a nice guy, you are a nice woman, blah, blah, blah. No! Are you listening to me tonight? Are you here tonight? Go back to where we were. And why I had to chip that was because I've observed that a lot of times Satan sneaks into the congregation. He speaks through people. I said it before. He speaks through people. In fact, sometimes they are your best friends. That is why the Bible says in Ephesians 4 through 12. Let's see from verse 12. Ephesians 4 from verse 12. Let's see it briefly. It says, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. His consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. Alright? Next part of scripture. Then it says, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Next part of scripture. Then it says in verse 14, so then we may no longer be what? Children. Who are children? Those that are tossed like sheep to and fro between chance gods and of teachings and waverings with every changing wind of doctrine. The prey of the cunning and cleverness of men, gamblers engage in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors. Now, NKJV, very fast. NKJV, please, everybody read, want to go. That we would toss to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by what? In the word of what? Even though Amplified sounded beautiful, how on earth do we understand everything like that? NLT. I could perceive some of you had given up before we finished reading that thing. Then we will no longer be immature like what? Children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You see that? We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. What will bring you to this point? When you allow yourself to be groomed by the fivefold, where you understand your place in Christ, where you truly understand the word of God, then you come to this point that nobody can deceive you again because you know Christ. And how do you know Christ? In the church, the pillar for truth, like the Bible says. Are you here tonight? You know, one time I was listening to a preacher and he said, God is not in the church. I said, that's very shallow. We can agree that one or two people have. He said, God left the church. And I said, that's quite shallow. Now, we agree that some people may be teaching things outside Christ, alright? And it's not nice to be there. The Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. If someone is not teaching Christ, you should not follow the person. And somebody said, how will I know that he's teaching Christ? That is why God did not leave us helpless. He gave us the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. Nobody can force us to believe what is not true. If you believe what is not true, it's your fault. Do you think God will hold anybody responsible for your foolish believing? He will never. Because he has given you what? The Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Alright? And when he said so, I said, no. You are too brutal with that statement. To cut the long story short, he has started a church now. 9 a.m. Now, he said he was never going to start a church. That was his promise. Because God has left Sunday morning services. That they are bringing a new fire, which is in the evenings. But he started... What really moved me was that he said, God told me to start a church. So I said, you see, God... If somebody had heard him many years ago, a young apostle that was rising, the apostle would say, yes, God, I've left the church. Him too would say, I'm not doing Sunday morning church. And only for him to wake up one morning and his boss is now doing Sunday morning church. And now he's wondering, what the hell happened with that wisdom? The person just understood better, did not apologize, and is now what? Following the right path. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? See, for instance, again, that is why you should not just follow people. Allow the Holy Ghost to help you understand. And not just allow the Holy Ghost to help you understand. Know Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit. And of course, your involvement in the local church. Come to that point that you can discern what is wrong from right. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's the most important. That point that you can discern what is wrong from right. Alright? Now, this pastor many years ago said these words. He said, there are many things that Paul said in scripture. Many. Now, mark the word many. What got me was the word many. Now, if you had said a few, maybe I would have tried to reason with you, which is actually not true. Amen? Paul did not say anything in the Bible that is not in the character of God. Paul only gave advice, and he said, I'm giving this advice as a man. It is my own opinion. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, you have the liberty to choose it or not, but it's my own opinion. Now, think about it deeper. If you truly have been washed by the word of God, your mind has been renewed, and you give an opinion, you think that opinion will not be of God? The same Paul said, my speech and conversation were not from what? From man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So somehow we can actually just say, Paul never said anything that is not of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? What got to people was that point where he said in 1 Corinthians 7 that I'm speaking as a man. I'm advising these couples as a man. Alright, so he's telling them they have the liberty to reject his counsel or not. And I was listening to a philosopher. He said something wonderful. He said he felt like Paul was in a state of humility, trying to just make the people understand that, okay, I don't want to insist on my own opinion. You people get what I'm trying to explain? It's not like what I'm saying is wrong, but I don't want to just insist. You can just decide to, you know, taking a low stand so that the people will kind of, you know, be free to actually accept his ideology or not. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So that it doesn't look like a God before them, kind of. Because sometimes when you go, have you met people before that you are teaching them, but you take this low stand so that they don't feel like you are trying to impose? And I really understand what the philosopher is saying. It makes a lot of sense. And he said that many things... Now, he's a wonderful preacher till today. Some of you may have a clue. And I'm not trying to condemn the preacher. I believe he's a very wonderful preacher. Now, he said there are many things in the character of God. I mean, many things that Paul spoke against that are not in the character of God. And that's a very huge statement. That simply means when we read Paul now, if I'm a student of him, if I'm a disciple of him, and I read Paul, I'll be kind of confused. I'll be on the fence because I'm wondering, this thing Paul is saying now, at this point of scripture, is it of God or of himself? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because if it's not of God, it should be of the devil. There's no neutral ground. That's what Jesus said. If you are not for me, you are the enemy. Hallelujah to Jesus. So now, people are quite confused. Alright? And probably he has large followership. And he has said that. Listen to the danger of listening to people, following people blindly. After a few years, then we hear the person says, if you are a preacher and you are bragging right now that you have not made a mistake in your doctrine before, you are a liar. Every one of us, even myself, I have made a mistake before in my doctrine. Now, listen, that is a humble statement. Okay, tell us the mistake you made so that we'll go and remove it from our database. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because now, everything you have said before, we don't know which one is the mistake. You just said, okay, now I just came to you people, I said, hey, I was teaching you people on coding, I made some mistakes. And I want you to understand that everybody makes mistakes. And I said, oh, God bless you. A commenter said, what the heck is wrong with you, lecturer? Where did you make the mistake? Show us those lines of code so that we'll correct and use it in life tomorrow, whether we're in the US. Not that we're going to run code in France tomorrow, it's not running. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Let's know, because words are more like programming. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if I took your words and you are saying some of the words I took from you are a mistake, tell me the mistake so that I will remove those ones from my heart, because I hold you there as my pastor and preacher. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Now, I'm not trying to condemn the preacher now. I'm trying to show you that you can be victims of people's situation. Now, who are the victims here? The person that had made the mistake knows where he made the mistake. But he's not admitting and showing you word by word where he made the mistake. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You now have received everything that he has been saying for years as light. And now cannot tell which one is a mistake. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So whose life is in shambles now? Yours, not the preacher. That's what Paul is saying here, that when you understand Christ, you cannot be tossed to and fro by what? Deceitful ideologies from man's wisdom. In Amplified rendition, he says, lies so clever they sound like the truth. I think it's this rendition. People try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Paul is not trying to say these people tricking you are devils. Some of them are very sincere people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Just like when we're growing up, the Catholic faith, they have what they call the canon laws, canon teachings. Alright, when they say canon teachings, they are not saying that they are sure that it is from God or from the scriptures. They are saying that they impose these teachings to help people touch God better from their own human logical understanding. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So they are, why they call it canon, the word canon simply means man-made, man's idea. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That simply means canon could be questioned, all right, because it's a man-made idea. A good Catholic watching me should not have a problem with this, because they call it canon, so I can question what is canon. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because it is canon. And what would I use to question what is canon? Scriptures. If I find a part of scripture that negates canon ideas, I have to question it. Because if I take in me canon ideas that is negating scripture, it will alter my worship to God. The Bible speaking in Matthew, is it Matthew 15:9. The Bible said, in vain they worship me because they are taking as what? Doctrines, the word, teachings of men. Their worship is false, for they teach man-made ideas as what? Commands from God. Now, these people may sincerely be teaching man-made ideas. Alright? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Sincerely. You know what I mean by sincerely? They are not bad people. They actually felt it was true. I think Paul speaks about them in Romans 10 and 2. Let's see verse 2. It says, very fast, I know. Now, from verse 1, this word is very big. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart, can we have it in the Amplified? There's a word I'm avoiding there. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. Next part of scripture. Thank you, Lord. For I testify about them that they have a certain, oh my God, a certain what? A certain what? Esusia? Okay. I thought you said Esusia. And what? Enthusiasm for God, but not in accordance with what? Correct and vital knowledge about Him and His purpose. You see, they truly have a certain, but not according to what? Correct and what? Vital knowledge. More like man-made ideas. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So for instance, one of the ideas which is not captured from scripture and has no scriptural foundation is that there's a certain thing called purgatory. And when we look at the Bible, we can't find anywhere the Bible speaks about purgatory. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But look at it logically, it makes sense. They say you can't be serving God in spirit and in truth. I mean, you are trying so hard, you are living above sin, and all of a sudden, one night before you died, somebody came and made you angry, and you said, "You bastard, poor," and God takes you to hell. They say it's not fair. So they believe God will look at your life, see the fact that you are tried over the years, and say, "Oh, listen, you are going to stay in purgatory and serve punishment for certain years. Then after a while, you'll be called into heaven." Makes sense? Does it not make sense? But is it the truth? According to the Bible? I've never seen that in the Bible. Now, we're not trying to insult them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. With all due respect. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So there are several canon laws. Not just them, the Catholic. If you look at one or two denominations, there are several canon laws like that. You know what the devil does with canon laws or man-made ideas is that even if you call it canon laws, making the people understand that you created them, the people now will take it so serious and create a religion out of it. That's what Satan does with lies. As long as Satan sees a lie in your heart, he will not allow that lie rest. He must establish that lie to become your own truth. Such that the Bible will say, if the light in you be what? You see? Satan did not say, "Oh, that's a lie, let it go." God knows that's a lie. Satan saw that you now know the a lie as the truth. Satan will not stop there. He will emphasize the lie in your heart until the lie becomes your truth. Now, you are now using a lie to fight the supposed truth that is coming. That's what happened with the Pharisees. When the supposed truth or the supposed light started coming, found expression on the earth, Jesus Christ, people who were representing him over the years because of lies, wrong practices, man-made ideas that they've been using for several years, Satan used that to clog their heart against the truth of God, God's word. So that when Jesus was speaking, God himself was speaking to them, they were negating God. The Bible said they grew in jealousy towards him, that they took up stones sometimes to stone him. In fact, that was not all. They crucified him. They became Satan's tool to fulfill the agenda. Why we are not angry was because that was what he came for. But it's so sad that it is through them Satan fulfilled the agenda. They say, "Let his blood." Unbelievers wash their hand. Pilate, his wife said, "I had a bad dream. Wash your hand." He washed it before the people. Say, "My hand." He now wanted this guy to be free. He wanted Jesus to be free. Lord have mercy, I say you are a guy. He wanted Jesus to be free. Some people say Jesus is Bruce G. Just looking at you. When fire cuts your clutch, you understand. We have entered the season of Christmas. Some will be writing X Mass. Fire will catch you. You will talk who is X. When the fire catch you, you find S. you get S. Pilate washed his hands off. Then he wanted the situation to be nicer. He brought a criminal. Imagine a criminal in this town that everybody is scared of. They catch the criminal. When they caught the criminal, the town was happy. When Jesus now came, Jesus did not do any bad thing. You know? He raised the dead. He multiplied bread. Imagine you have that kind of man raising dead people back to life. You just see bread. Say people are hungry. Whoa, bread and fish will gather. Things like that. The people, the religious people, they turn the hearts of the people toward. In fact, some of the people Jesus healed were part of the people that said crucify him. You think it's a lie? That's how the devil behaves. There are some people that it was through us, the word of God, shaped their life. They are the ones now carrying, they have started a parade. He's a fake. You know, one time somebody said to me, Kaduna, that they saw somebody I raised sharing with the people that we do fake miracle alerts in church. I was so amazed. I was also amazed. That means our plan with their pastor Emmanuel, the people that do send the money to the people. So they will be around somewhere. The money coming in the name of Jesus. Then Allah to be entering people. The man of God, man of God, man of God. That's Pastor Mel said, Pastor Ed has said. A friend of mine that we grew up together in the faith, knowing my character, when he entered the place and heard the talk, he almost started crying there. Is it just? He almost started crying there. He said, why the height of this wickedness? There were young people there who followed me. She gathered them, the lady with him. They sat down there and were talking to all these young people who look up to me. I tell you the truth, they all look up. When I was in Canada, they all used to look up to me. He said, you are disgracing him. See what you are saying about him in the midst of all these people. And they started quarreling in the lady's house. And he said, I will never come to your house. He said she insulted him, carried her hand and put on his face. He left the house, called me immediately and told me the thing. I said, no problem, it happens, it blah, blah, blah. Most of those young people, the devil is very wicked. One of them, the young people called me lately, he said, sir, my life is messed up. I said, how? He said, I'm a security man. At age what? 18. You are a security man at age 18, 20, thereabout? I said, why? He said, sir, I'm just trying to survive. I said, you had a bright future. This guy was taking first in his class. I'm not exaggerating. First. I said, what happened? He said, sir, even me, I don't know what is wrong with my life. What happened? The ministry where they were closed down. You know, I've never seen where a ministry close. Maybe GCMI, the tenor, they said the move of God in GCMI are finished. So they closed the ministry. And they started a new one with another name. Because the founder of the ministry, you know, he was late. So the influence, that name, it will still be said, is the founder. And they closed it. And when they closed it, they started the new one now. You know, the boys don't even know what is happening. All of them just move around. And their life. That's how the devil behaves. You know what I'm trying? What brought us here? How that the devil can influence the heart of people and make them talk you out of alignment. Talk you out of God's way for your life. Do you know Satan has set some people on fire? He has set some people on fire to make sure you miss the mark. You go outside God's way for your life. You will be hearing them every day talk. Every day. There are some people, when you just stop coming to this church, the business with you have ended. Their dream, what Satan has put in their life, just make sure she loses. Finish. That's all. Make sure she goes away. Make sure he goes away. It's the truth. Hallelujah to Jesus. And sometimes, imagine you are a pastor in my shoes, all right? With this kind of situation, what will you do? That you see somebody who is going astray, yet you cannot help the person. You know, one time I had a lady in my office. She said, Pastor, I want to speak to you. I'm a very gentle pastor. I believe to a fair extent I'm humble. And I got to my office to see this one. Pastor Ed was there. So shocked. He was shocked I came. She had not been coming to church. So she asked to see me. I'm sure he was very shocked. I came to the office. When Pastor Ed, blah, blah, blah. I said, no problem. Let her come. And I came. She sat me down in my office because I actually didn't plan to come to the office that day. And started asking me questions. Sir, the things in church, I want to understand them. Why do you do this? I said, just maybe writing. I wrote all the questions down. I started answering one by one. So why is it that in church, she now asks a question? Everybody must be forced to hear messages. Is it right to force people to hear the word of God? I said, well, more like, not really like force, but just to manage to see that, you know. I didn't really go so deep, but I was answering like a child. At some point, my heart moved up small. I said, let me tell this one, stand up and move here in the name of Jesus. But the Lord just said, be calm. Just move. So I said, keep on asking. I was answering. She was asking. I was answering. She would not laugh. I would laugh with her. Smile. I would smile with her. Then at the end of everything, I said to her, because I knew where the influence were coming from. I knew where the questions were coming from. So I said, be very careful. Because it's not about you. Alright? It's not about this moment. It's about Satan trying to make sure your life is completely destroyed. Let me give you an instance. were judging a case one time, and there was this brother that was very disciplined with the Lord, very disciplined in the things of God. And one time his heart moved in pride. Just something minor in church. I think it was in Josh, we're talking about the case. His heart just moved in pride. Somebody made a statement that really hurt him. He couldn't sleep well. So his heart moved in pride. Now, he was trying to solve that problem little by little. Alright? Managing the pain in his heart, the offense in his heart, yet coming to church. You could tell something was wrong, but he was not just opening it to anybody. Alright? And all of a sudden, he said down the line, after like 2 years, he was caught up in a sin of fornication. Then when he realized that he has really backslided, he came back to his pastor and started crying. The pastor was sharing with me. And cried. I said, in his life, if anybody had told him he would do this kind of mistake, he would have never believed it. And the pastor, being so amazed, closed his eyes to pray or to hear God. And God told him, he said, tell him he has an offense many years ago in his heart. He now said, do you have any offense in your heart? He started trying to think. He said, yes. I remember so this. He said, why did you not tell me as a pastor? He said, I felt like there was no need, blah, 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 blah. He said, but you kept it in your head. Yes, sir. He made me to stop talking with him and talking with people. He said, that is what happened to you. Satan took you away from people and the church little by little, and he hit you. Because if you are around, you will still be on fire. So you see that little offense that you think is not powerful, it could be the reason for you to drift away completely from the faith. Satan is very patient. Very patient guy. He would have planted that offense 3 years ago. And he's nursing it. Watching you. Nursing it. Very patient till the day you completely leave the faith. I'll talk about follow up. Satan does follow up more than anybody here. And that is why the Bible said, what he said, certainly Jesus speaking, he said, offense must surely come. You can't run away from offense. He said, but woe to him that offense takes a hold of his mind. I'm trying to paraphrase in my own word. Meaning, woe to you. A lot of people that have left their call because of offense. Yes. They've left the assignment God has given them because of offense. That's when you come to me and say, Pastor, I want to do this. I take out time to pray. Because a lot of times you may not even know your problem. And sometimes I may not even know your problem. But I want to pray and know what I should do about this situation. And sometimes I come and I give you a negating idea. There. I say, go back and do what you were doing before. So now, I don't even know why I'm telling you. But down the line, if you could obey, you will get to understand why you had to have gone back. Sometimes we know. Sometimes we don't know. I even get what I'm trying to say. But why do I have the advantage to know how to direct you most time? Because God has put us as spiritual authority over your lives. So somehow that grace to be able to know at certain period of your life, God will give us a grace. He will share that grace from within us. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you here tonight? So you see verse 2 now. It says, for they have a desire for God, but not according to correct and vital knowledge. And this turned them into something else. They negated Jesus. You see this, you know, they say, focus on doctrine. They say, no, doctrine does not matter. See what not focusing on doctrine can change you into. Are people that can now negate God himself. They were practicing religion for several years. See what Paul said when he rose, Paul, the apostle. Look at verse 1. It said, my heart desire and prayer for Israel is that they be what? Saved. A people that has been practicing religion for several years, wearing all the kind of religious wears, white and white, red, blah, blah, blah. Here is what Paul is saying, that they should be prayed for to be saved. Because they've been using wrong ideologies to serve God for years. It has formed as a religion over the years. And right now that religion has become a limitation to even them. Satan, through those lies that's formed as a religion now, is affecting them against the things of God. If not, how can you tell me that a man in church for several years can look at his master, Jesus, and say, crucify him? What will bring you to that height of wickedness? Be Because the devil is the father of all lies. If he can get you to believe in a lie, you are giving him access to your life. Or you are creating an ecological need, or a culture, as in biology, for him to come and find free flow through your life. Of course, you know what a culture is for an organism. Where they can find the expression, more like an environment suitable for specific organisms. Lies in your heart cultivates your heart into an environment that Satan can come and find free flow and move freely, express himself freely. So he may start with a lie that sounds like the truth. If the light in you be darkness, it sounds like the truth. He started like that. But when he comes, when through those lies you create or you permit him through an environment in your heart, he comes and he does even worse than that. He can turn you into a killer. He can turn you into a liar. See Paul over the years. Paul was not sleeping with women in terms of immorality. He was not doing that. The Pharisees were not doing that. Do you know that? They were religious guys. In their eyes, they were holy folks. They obeyed all the rituals. They were going to the temple to pray every time they needed to pray, performing all the rites. Yet they wanted Christians dead. Yet Paul would hold the cloth of people for them to kill Christians. I hope you know Paul was not another religion before he became a Christian. He was a Pharisee. In fact, he said a Pharisee of Pharisees, meaning a very serious religious leader. But his religion was making him fight even God. What did God tell him on his way to Damascus? When the light of God hit him up, what happened? God asked him, Paul, why are you what? Why are you persecuting me? He said, I don't know you. I've never taught you before. He said, you are persecuting my church. You see, he was religious. He came to a point that his religiosity paved the way for Satan to, through his life, begin to fight God himself on the earth. He was not aware. Haven't you seen religious people that are wicked? They are sis. They are religious. But they are damn wicked. I've seen it. Over the years, religious but very wicked. Want to see you dead. Want to see you destroyed. Want to see you making no progress on the earth. In fact, finding anybody coming around you, some of you have been interfered before. Why are you going to Prophet Simon's church? Ah, you want to die young? You want to make a mistake? You want to believe? You want to be lied upon? Because they cannot bear the truth of God's word. Jesus said they couldn't bear the truth he was speaking to them. They couldn't. He had to even weep at a point. He said, I'm trying to gather you people up, and you are rejecting me. He said, this is what will make you carcasses for Satan to feast on you. It happened to them. Jerusalem temple was destroyed. It was taken over by the Romans. In their days, shortly after Christ left. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? And if we go deeper a little bit, you know, if you just push a little bit to the book of Revelation, you see where God was speaking to the church when they were suffering under the mastery of what do they call those people who are rulers in Rome? Are they Caesars? And the emperors is a word they use more. No, it's not Pharaoh in Rome. It's Caesar, all right, Caesar. And hallelujah to Jesus. One of their rulers at that time, I don't know whether it's Constantine or something, a point they were, the church were really suffering, hiding to do services. Huh? Okay, the name, there was one of the emperor, whatsoever, amen? Hallelujah to Jesus. He was very wicked. Now, the church were suffering. Are we together? John the Revelator, one of the disciples of Jesus, the younger brother of Jesus, amen, one of the boys Mary gave birth to after she gave birth to Jesus. He was very angry. He was very concerned, and he began to pray because the church were not really the testimony of what Jesus said while he was on the earth. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not what? And he didn't just mean spiritual enemies. He meant for physical enemies too.
But it was seeming like it was the testimony of the church was opposite of what Jesus said. So there was great concern in his heart, and he began to pray. That was the book of Revelation is a resultant effect of his prayer. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. Somewhere when God was answering him, he said to the church, he said, come up hither. When he introduced himself to Paul, to John the Revelator, told him the purpose of the church, told him who he was, he then said somewhere, he said, I want the church to come up hither. That's the solution. Meaning the church should come to our rightful place. And if she comes to our rightful place, whatever is happening to her right now cannot happen to her again. It's more like a bed on the ground that a serpent caught. Now, we know birds can fly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And they can walk on the ground. But the question is, if the bird was flying, would the serpent be able to touch him or her? No. It's not possible. Meaning if the church is in our original place, there is no way that Satan can touch the church. The church was meant to be built on who? Christ. And if you observe, what is the book of Revelation? The revelation of, that's the solution for the church. Because if the church was in our rightful place, then the gate of hell will not what? Prevail. So God was making sure the church comes to our rightful place. That was the reason of the book of Revelation. If you look at it critically, God did not try to kill any emperor. He didn't say, I was going to kill Caesar, I will show them Pepe. No! In fact, they were perplexed at the end of everything. They had peace with Caesar, the emperor, whatsoever. They had peace. God gave them peace with their enemies. Because God does not want anybody to be destroyed, but he wants all men to come to what? Repentance. If God will visit people with the consequences of their sin, Paul would not be a preacher. He called himself the chief of all sinners. He killed a lot of Christians, but God used him more than most of the disciples in Bible days. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Very important. So what is that scripture about the simplicity in the gospel of Christ again before we go? 2 Corinthians what? 11:3. It says, can I get this, my phone plugged please? It's dead. 11:3. What does he say? Your minds may be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I wouldn't try to do so much justice to this because of time, but you know what I'm trying to talk about, the simplicity in Christ. Some people think that Christ is ambiguous. Alright? They want the gospel ambiguous. The mystery, you know, right now what is trending is, if you don't call immortality into anything, then you have not started preaching. The revelation of the immortal one. The realms of the immortals. The Bible says, run away from all of those things. Paul said, I'm afraid that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunningness, your minds may be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Give me the NKJV. The NKJV. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his what? So your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I was meditating one midnight and I told myself, I said, Satan is too wise to come as an obvious devil. He's too wise. That's old school for Satan. If he was doing that before, he has upgraded. Satan will use what does not look like something bad in your life to make sure you don't touch what you are supposed to touch. Let me give you an instance. Romans 10:1. My heart desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be. NKJV. Go next. It says, I have witnessed that they have a zeal for God, but not according to. Next part of scripture. Follow carefully. It says, for they being ignorant of God and seeking to establish their, have not submitted to what? Verse 4 then says, and for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, give me verse 3 in the Amplified Rendition, please. The Amplified Rendition. There's a word I'm looking for. For not knowing about God's righteousness, which is based on faith, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, based on works, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So you see, because they were ignorant of God's righteousness, they created another pattern for righteousness for themselves, which is a lie. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But verse 2 says they had a zeal. They have a zeal. Paul is not denying their zeal. They love fire. When you talk about fire, they will shout. When you talk about taking over nations, they are jumping. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But all their zeal was not according to knowledge. What will the devil do now? He will make sure you are pursuing something. He will give you a knowledge. You have the zeal, but you have the wrong knowledge. So you are pursuing something that is false with the right zeal. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's what the devil will do. So that when you come with the truth now, you become a problem. So Paul's like, I fear, because it's something to be scared of. Because if the light in you be what? Then how great is that darkness? When a time where people don't like somebody to look simple. That's my fear. I fear for this generation. And some that are simple are being too simple. You know what I'm trying to say, right? They're being too simple. I mean, you cannot be influenced by the King of Kings and not be cultured in a proper way to dress. There is no kingdom without culture. You can't tell me God is the King and the Lord of your life and you look like the world. You look like the world. It's not possible. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Don't be scared to stand for the truth. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Be bold about your feet. The world cannot teach you how to dress. You know what the Bible says about you? He said, you are the light of the world. Be bold about it. A city set upon the hill, you cannot be hidden. Hallelujah to Jesus. You will irritate them with your culture, with your lifestyle. You will definitely irritate them. You said, don't play that kind of song in my house. They feel irritated. They feel like you are doing too much. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But you have to do it anyways. You represent a kingdom. Be bold about your kingdom. The smallest unit of a community is who? If you don't start it from your family, the world will not change. Do you know why? Do you know how many gays are being recruited every day? Do you know? I was reading his research. People sponsoring, they are giving people billions, millions to just dress like gays, cross dressers. I read and I was watching a documentary. They give these guys have an agenda. You say you want to dress, you agree to dress like a woman, they wire money into your account. Money you have never seen, your generation have never seen. And they say you are not doing anything harmful, just be dressing like a woman and make people feel like you are gay. Why are they doing that? They want to paint a picture in the hearts of people. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? A man was complaining in UK, US, I mean. He said they want to do a magazine for Black Lives Matter and they put a transgender kid there. He said, why? They're painting a picture. So that when your sons and daughter look at the magazine, they see a boy that looks like a girl. And they see the possibility, if something is paved in their heart. There's a possibility now in their heart. There's a hole, a window that will be created in their heart. That Satan now enters and says, hey, you can actually be a boy. Why she's a girl? And you cannot actually be a girl. Why being a boy? We have seen it because we have been too careless as Christians. Anything can go for a Christian. We've been losing folks. I mean, we've seen pastors who are turning into gays. Have we not seen before? The popular guy that sang Hallelujah. Is he not behaving like a woman now? And you are telling us to take it easy? Tell somebody, don't take it easy. It's war. Don't take it. You try anything useless, we'll send you out. You don't take it easy. Listen, we're in a war. And there is no neutral ground. If you think you want to be this kind of Christian, you people are the most useless set of Christians in the realm of the spirit. Those, I'm not talking about all of you now. Listen to the category of the people. Those who call them so-called Christians. Who claim to be Christians but practice worldly ideas? 1 Corinthians 5 around 10. He said, I don't have the ability to judge everybody in the world, but let me judge Christians. who behave like pagans. Verse 11. That's what he said. So-called Christians, you check their status, their worldly song. With all the demonic things happening in the world, you have the mind to play a worldly song on your status. And when they ask you, you say, I'm a Christian. There are some Christians that if they are given the opportunity to go to the U.S., they will never say anything against the false practices there because they don't want to lose their daily bread. Life to them has been reduced to what to eat and drink. Many of them, in fact, some of them don't have the fire, the impetus to talk about it because there's no fire there. There's no fire on their inside. But all in a twig, in just, how do I call it now in physics? At every instant of time, you check their status. They are painting something worldly. They don't know that they are helping the devil market his ministry. They can even be dancing to a worldly song. They can dress in a wrong way, and it's not a problem to them. I mean, we're thinking about taking over nations, and somebody is telling me that he wants to sing a song that sounds quite worldly because he's trying to compete with the world to become number one on the charts of music. Who told you our dream as gospel singers is to be the number one on chart? No, it's to be the number one in the lives of people. So that when they listen to the song, there's so much impact in their life. We don't care whether it pleases the world. The problem right now is that Satan is reducing gospel song to becoming a sound that pleases everybody. Gospel song was never written to please everybody. It was never start. God never designed gospel song to please everybody in their ear. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's you are trying to create a beat that sounds like Burna Boy, so that when somebody is thinking he's listening to Burna Boy, all of a sudden you say, "Ah, na gospel song with this." Then your song is competing with Burna Boy because the beat, your beat is more beautiful. I'm not saying don't be intelligent musicians, don't be creative, but you are not trying to compete with the world. You are the light of the world. You don't dress like them to attract Christians of the world, to us. God does not need your dressing. It's so useless to win any soul. He said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men. He didn't say if you dress worldly. He said, if I'm lifted up, your dressing has nothing to do with bringing people to the kingdom. It makes you look so stupid and so ignorant. Are you listening to me tonight? It's time to wake up. Hallelujah to Jesus. All of these ideas are being painted. We don't hear songs again. If you are looking for a song that will set people on fire, I tell you, a lot of times it's not the current songs you hear. It's not the current songs you hear. A young man that is almost becoming a gay, if you play the recent song for him, he will become a wonderful gay. But I tell you the truth, when you play songs like the ones written by Ron Kenoni, the dumb ones. The man that sang, this man in Israel, what is his name? Paul Weebles. Play those songs for young people and yet see the kind of fire that will be stirred in there. Even you, go and listen to them this night. Hear your songs today. It is what Jesus has done for you. I am blessed. I'm blessed. Oil on my head. Money in my hand. That is what we sing now. Need-based worship song. Is that worship? Need-based songs. How many Christians of this generation can leave their house and go and stay in Vandikia for 1 week to do mission work? How many? How many Christians they can go to prison? They went to prison to go and preach. No, it's not prison. They are looking for visa to go and do concert in America. The dream of most young gospel singers now is to go to US and know the concert. The prophecy with the false prophet lying spirit, all you hear is, I see you in the US very soon holding a concert. Amen, sir. False prophet, false prophecy, false singer. Is God going to open doors internationally for you? Yes. But is that the focal point? No. Can he send you anywhere? Yes. Does he send you only to certain cities? No. You can take your microphone, you by yourself, enter a community, hold a concert, win souls, and go back home. Just somebody that's gospel. You know, I heard now when you invite somebody, they ask you, what kind of speakers do you have? My crew are coming. We need about 10 million for a start. When we finish, you can add 5 million. I told a pastor friend, if you do that thing, I will not be talking to you. If you pay such a money, I will not be talking to you. We must end the generation of that nonsense. If it is by people like us, nobody, you will be broke, you to your family, to your last generation. Nobody will invite you. I told him, I said something to my friend in just, I said, to be honest, let's be honest. What do I truly need to lift a song and stay an atmosphere? I'm not trying to brag. In fact, when you are done singing Heaven and Earth, if I want to preach in this podium, I must raise a song that tallies with my message. You can't give me my atmosphere. I didn't bring you to give me an atmosphere. I brought you to become a blessing to the lives of people, because I honor the grace of God on your life, not to come and think you are a demigod. Are you listening to me? This kind of mentality must enter your heads, all of you. Because what we are seeing today in today's world, we don't understand. We don't understand. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why the high rate of immorality, the rate of immorality, even within the church, is very high. It's too high. A lady just come to a church, before you know, a brother have asked her, before you know, blah, 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 before you know, blah, blah, blah. She was a nice girl before she came to church. Because there's no discipline. That culture is not in the church anymore. You see all forms of indiscipline. Somebody will just stand and say, God, say you are my wife. I'm not saying God doesn't give wife. But you see the rate of indiscipline. If we allowed all of these things in this church, some of you would have dated like 5 girls. It's not a joke. You don't hear this. You want to date this one. That one don't date them before. In fact, people will be changing church because the relationship will break. Are you here? Are you happy?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
So hear these things and hear them. When you go home, go and listen to it again. What did I give as the title of today's sermon? Did I give a title? What should the title be? Let's all agree. Order in the house of the Lord. Yes, order in the house of the Lord. Go back and hear them again. Hear them and hear them and hear them and pray in tongues. We are creating a cult, an environment that is suitable for God to raise the kind of people he dreams about. And we are bold about it. Hallelujah to Jesus. We see the fire rising. I'm grateful to God for the fire rising. Every day when I look at you, I see some venturing into their cause, and I'm like, God, I give you all praise. We will have the kind of CEOs that God desires rise from this place with kingdom mindedness. Hallelujah to Jesus. World notable and influential people. Wonderful psalmists to the glory of the Lord. Wonderful preachers to the glory of the Lord. Metamorphosis. But you must imbibe to all the discipline in the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Are we together? Bow your heads and pray wherever you are. Give God all the praise. Lord, we worship you and we thank you for your word. It's a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. We believe that, Lord, our lives will never remain the same again. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help my heart. That should be your prayer. Help my heart. Wherever there should be a mending, a repair, help my heart. Help my heart. Wherever there should be a mending, a repair, help my heart. I now understand the purpose and the value of life. It is to the end that I live for your kingdom. I live for your kingdom. I live for your kingdom. I live for your glory. What is life without living for you? You are the essence of life. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Pray from the depth of your heart. Wherever this word of God shone on your heart, let the Holy Spirit mend. Let it 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 mend. Let all that God desires for me and through me find expression. Go ahead and pray. Labrakasha labragadia. All power, all glory, all of you in my life. All power, all glory, all of you in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my strength. I will worship you with all that I am. You are my God. Abaranaka baba 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 baya. All love, all glory. All of you in my life. All love, all power. All of you in my life. I will worship you. I will worship you. Oh, ba 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 ba. I will worship you. You are my God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Lord, we believe our lives can never remain the same again. In the name of Jesus.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.